Hello and welcome to Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I am Natalie Schmazel, a sophomore history major here at James Madison University. During the pre-revolutionary time period, the colonial world for women was limited by constraints and forced by the economy. This paper analyzes the concept of Republican motherhood, whether it represents an expansion or contraction of rights for women. I'm speaking today with Jen Palacios, a fellow history major here at James Madison University, and the author of the paper, Republican Motherhood: The Challenge of Women's Roles in the New Republic. So first, Jen, can you just give the audience a brief overview as to what you wrote your final research paper on?
So a brief review about it is basically different women's and their position on whether there was an expansion of Republican motherhood or whether it wasn't. And it dealt with the way they were, you know, influenced by people in education and to see whether who supported it. There were also British people that, you know, debated about it and influenced the American women's.
Okay, so Jen, what is the central argument you're trying to stress throughout your paper?
My central argument is whether there is an expansion of roles for women, because I took a lot of gender women's studies and we talked about Republican motherhood, and it came down to the point where it really just depended on, you know, the gendered. Whether you're a female, you'll believe that there was no expansion for Republican motherhood. If you're a male, you'll say, like, yes, there was an expansion towards it because they got education, but in reality their education was limited to, you know, the basic stuff like, oh, you should teach your child to do this and to do that, and like, you didn't really get as much of an education unless you were rich. For an example, like I've mentioned, Mercy Warren, she came from, you know, a higher class, and she was capable of learning the classical literatures and, you know, another language and stuff like that. So it really just depended on your background, where you landed in the status of economical resources, and also depending, you know, whether or not the males in your life would choose what you wanted to do in your life.
Throughout this pre-revolutionary time period, what were the roles of women?
So before the revolution, many of the roles of women were the basic, you know, like cleaning up the house. That was their sphere. So there was two different spheres. There was the private spheres and then the public spheres. For women at this time, the only role they really had was in their private spheres, which was their house. They would tell, you know, anyone to do this. For instance, like if they had, you know, maids or servants and stuff like that, they would tell them what to do, and they would organize, you know, festivals and stuff like that, or they would have people come into their house and welcome them in. But their basic roles were just taking care of kids, cleaning up the house, making sure there was like food that was cooked and everything, and making sure that, you know, their kids are actually educated and they are the type of kids that society wants for the Republic.
And did you feel that all women conformed to these expectations?
Some women, it was actually half-half. There were women at the time that were confined to this Republican motherhood, and they solely believed that this was correct, that they should do this. They are actually getting a role, and they feel appreciated. And men at this time were putting women on a pedestal. Like, if you are, you know, doing what the Republican motherhood says, then you will get, you know, things out of it. We will help you get stuff that you need. And other women were like, no, this is not enough education. Like, you're just telling us we have an education, but it's limited, or you're telling us we have a role, so, you know, we'll stay back and not, you know, hinder anything because you guys are at war. But this is seen, you know, even in the letters of Abigail Adams, like, during, you know, their the issue with the war and everything, she tells her husband, like, remember the ladies that, you know, we're staying back here and we're doing everything. We're, you know, we're actually taking the things, the jobs, and doing as most as possible things we can do. They're also, you know, there's issues about food and stuff like that. So she's like, remember us, like, I understand this is a war for men and, you know, for freedom and independence, but, like, we are women and we deserve also the independence and freedom as well. But, you know, later on, her husband just says, you know, like, it's a joke, like, you're making me laugh. So there were women who legit used even philosophers to explain, like, you know, just because we are women does not mean anything. There's women who quoted, like, different philosophers saying, you know, like, the mind has no sex, so why is it a big deal? There was a lot of women who were pushing for it, but, you know, if they were pushing for it, they were called, you know, man and stuff like that, because if they're trying to get into the politics spheres, that's a man thing. So some women wouldn't step out of that boundary or, like, push that because they were afraid to be labeled as manly.
Throughout your paper, what do you stress commends the changing of these rights for women?
What I stress about is with these commending rights is basically, what were they getting out of this? Were they actually, you know, was this actual role, I wouldn't want to say, like, not important, but was it really that important and everything? Because there was a lot of people who said that, you know, in order for the Republic to succeed, they needed women to, like, teach their son and everything. But my stress was, did women actually get a right? Were they allowed to at least enter into, you know, the political spheres? And how did they have to do it? And I realized that these rights weren't at all given to them. There was no rights at all. It was just something, you know, that they said just to hold women back so they didn't have to worry about another thing. And if women wanted rights, you know, they would have to take it onto, like, their own self. They would have to be like, okay, I'm going to change these boundaries and everything. You know, we have Deborah Sampson, who actually challenges the rights and everything. You know, she comes from a poor family and everything, and she, there wasn't anything for her at all, and people that came from, you know, poor family had to do what they had to do, and she decided, you know, to change her gender and wear men clothing and everything, and actually went to war and fought. They later on discovered her because she got shot, but as I said, the only people that actually had the rights were these women who were able to step out of their comfort zone and show men that they are capable of doing the things that men said they couldn't.
What effect did this revolution have on women as a whole?
As a whole, there's a lot of disagreement, actually, with women. It's interesting because, as I said in the paper, yeah, we are women and everything in the paper, but we all have different perspective and things. We're always going to have a different story, and it really depends on, you know, socially, where's your status, economically, where's your status as well. But as a whole, for women, it wasn't looking really good. It just seemed that a lot of women were just kind of, like, in the dark and everything, and they were being, you know, shunt out of all the, like, public sphere. It just seems like nothing really good was coming out of the Republican motherhood. It just seemed that the only thing so far they could do at the time was just take their role and everything, but other women didn't. Going back to Mercy Warren, Abigail, like, sent her letters and everything, and Abigail's Adam was actually fighting for, you know, rights and everything, and her husband kept on shutting it down and everything. She goes to Warren to see whether or not, like, something could happen, and during this time, like, what really happened as a whole, as effect, was that women were kind of either stopping the push for this right, or other women were fighting back about it. So they were listening to different, like, you know, ideologies in Europe that came across, you know, the colonies and everything, and because of that, as a whole, a lot of women were affected by it, because women were judging other women about, you know, like, the fact that some women believed, okay, you should be a mother, that's your job, that's very, you know, vital for the Republic. Other women thought, you know, like, this is not enough for us. So you had a conflict between, you know, the women's, whether they should do something or should not.
Okay, and last but not least, when researching for primary sources, did you stumble across any issues with these sources?
Yeah, I did. There was a lot of issues with primary sources because it was very difficult. You have bits and pieces throughout history, you know, even accounts that are not, you know, fully seen of the context because of the fact, you know, like, it's been years and the issues that you don't have as many. But I did find some primaries of women who wrote, you know, letters and everything, speaking up about, you know, their daily chores that they have to do, you know, before the revolutionary and then after, how they felt.
Thank you so much, Jen.